We're talking with Assemblymember Phil Steck, who represents part of Albany County. This week, the legislature is starting a new two-year session, and the governor delivered at least part of his State of the State address, outlining his goals and his assessment of the priorities and problems facing the state. So, Assemblymember, what was some of your reactions to the governor's State of the State address?
Well, it was filled with platitudes, but it lacked anything of a true meaningful nature. The essence of the speech was to blame everything on the federal government, and we've got a $15 billion deficit. The proposals he's come out with so far, marijuana legalization, sports betting, and borrowing lots of money, are not good solutions. There are much better solutions from an economic perspective. A lot of my constituents think that marijuana legalization and legalizing sports betting, which I support both things, would raise a lot of money. That's not the reason to do it. It doesn't raise a lot of money. And if we want to get serious about this, we got to put an end to this neoliberal economics and do something like the stock transfer tax.
So the governor apparently was pretty dismissive of the concept of taxing the rich, including the stock transfer tax. And I know you have a bill in to stop rebating it, but he was arguing, I think, yes, in his State of the State address that, that's less than $1 billion. That's not going to solve our, $15 billion deficit. How did you respond to his lowballing of the estimate how much we could raise from taxes?
It would be greatly appreciated if the governor would tell the public the truth. The reality is that tax has a record and would raise on average of $11 billion a year, according to the state's own numbers. So the governor is just not being honest with us on that. And another thing that he loves to talk about is, everybody's going to leave New York, this and that. Let me make a point here on that. We'll talk about New York City first and then upstate. So in New York City, there's no record of anybody leaving New York City. New York City has the highest sales tax and the highest income tax anywhere in the state of New York. So if the governor were right, people would be leaving New York City in droves. They haven't been. The only reason they leave New York City is because with COVID, there's a perception of a public health problem. On upstate New York, both he and his Republican predecessor, George Pataki, have tried 0% tax schemes in upstate New York. None of them have produced any economic growth. His whole understanding of economics is just way out of whack. What we need is massive government investment, and you can't do that unless you raise revenue.
Now the media has made a lot of noise about, this is going to be a more, progressive state legislator, a number of DSA-backed candidates, particularly if New York City were elected, and the Senate, now has a veto-proof two-thirds majority. But the actual numbers of new legislators, particularly on the left side of the aisle, is actually relatively small. So do you think we're going to see a more feisty, more progressive state legislature in the next 2 years?
I think it's a little difficult to say. I think one of the real problems that we've got is since 1980, a lot of folks have been imbued with the ideology of neoliberalism. It started with Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton embraced it, and it's gone on from then. And the governor follows it. And I think until we start to understand that that is not good for the economy, it's not good for the middle class, that it's difficult to get progressive change in the legislature. But what I try to do on the stock transfer tax is address that problem and try to show people that this idea that unleashing global finance is going to bring us wealth is wrong. It's exactly the opposite. In fact, the billionaires and finance controlling our economy actually has led to the type of coup attempt that we saw in the Trump administration, because you have a lot of angry people out there. So it's very bad policy what we've been doing, and we have to change people's minds on that. I don't know if it's a, you know, left or right thing. I would say that we've got to get some of our legislators to try to realize that there are different approaches to economics that they're just not taking.
You've mentioned COVID, you know, several times, and clearly that's, you know, perhaps the biggest problem, you know, facing the state at this point. You know, with the legislature coming back into session, is there a sense that they may challenge some of this, I guess, grab of executive power the governor's given himself? And particularly, not only, you know, the summer was a lot of concerns raised about how we handle the nursing homes, but now even the counties are beginning to yell about, why are you doing this vaccine rollout using the hospitals rather than the system that we spent a couple decades putting together on how to handle mass vaccination? Is the legislature likely to try to weigh in on how the governor's handling COVID?
Unfortunately, I think this all relates to my answer to the last question. I voted against giving the governor extraordinary powers over COVID. Reason was that the health department already had adequate powers in the public health law to address these issues. The governor's a politician, and he has utilized this opportunity, which is his greatest strength from a public relations perspective. But, you know, that's not really how government should work. I remember the member of the assembly who introduced the bill to give the money or the power to the governor actually said on the floor of the assembly that he would give that power to Andrew Cuomo, but not to Donald Trump. And I think that's really beside the point, that if you live in a democracy, you can't be giving extraordinary dictatorial powers to your executive, whether that person be Democrat or Republican. The idea of infectious disease is not new. This is just the latest outbreak of it. And we've had these problems in the past, and we dealt with them without giving this extraordinary powers to the governor. So I think, again, we need to get the members to think about this from the broader perspective of a democratic system of government, rather than we're going to do in the short run what we might think is politically attractive.
So we have a little bit less than 2 minutes left. You know, what are some of the other, you know, key issues that you think the legislature will, you know, deal with in the coming session?
Well, I think we're going to have to deal with the legalization of marijuana, which I support. Now, I don't support it because it's a revenue raiser. It's not really. I support it because it's something we need to get out of the criminal justice system. As chair of the committee on alcoholism and drug abuse, which I was just appointed to, we need to make sure that this bill includes help for people who do have dependency on marijuana, because there are people who, you know, just choose for whatever reason, they end up smoking marijuana excessively, and it deprives them of the opportunities to do other things in their lives. So to say that marijuana is a harmless thing, I think, is wrong. But to say it should be handled through the criminal justice system when alcohol is not, I think the two are roughly comparable. So I would say this is like the repeal of prohibition when Franklin Roosevelt was president. It's something we have to do.
Okay. Well, we hope to be talking to you a couple more times, during the legislative session. And good luck on trying to get the stock transfer tax to stop being rebated.
It's a long-term strategy.
This has been Assemblymember Phil Steck, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.